Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting today on Monday, April 7th, 2025. So happy spring to everyone. To begin with, as you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips for people who are joining through phone calls. You can press star 6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star 9. Everybody who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you need to make any comments, you can indicate that by clicking on the raise hand icon, because if you raise hands, the same icon will raise or lower your virtual hands. I do request everyone to please stay on mute unless speaking, because it helps eliminate any external noise. We will also request that when you start making any comments, please state your name, because we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. It helps them in doing their job well when they know the speakers and people who are listening on the phone calls. It's also helpful for them. If anybody listens to the meeting audio afterwards, it's helpful for them to know who the speakers were at the time. Chair Sheehan, I can go to the reading of the agenda for today's meeting and then take the roll call of the committee members if you
Perfect. Can. Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Anu.
Thank you. So before I start reading the agenda, I will share my screen. And when my screen is visible, if somebody can confirm, I will appreciate that. So if you will give me a quick moment and I'll start sharing. Okay, seems like too many open documents is not very helpful. Okay, so it should be.
There you go.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yep, I can see your screen.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah.
All right. So after I start finishing, after I read the agenda, we'll go through the roll call of the committee members. And after that, Chair Sheehan will go through the motion of approval of today's meeting agenda, last month's meeting minutes, and the board report. And we do have Camilla Martin Proctor, the board member, with us today. And she will discuss the Metro Access by paper that she's been working on. And our next topic of discussion is the DMB moves, which Chair Sheehan will provide us with an update. We will take any public comments, followed by the bus and rail subcommittee meeting and the Metro Access subcommittee meeting. And the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7:30 p.m. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now, going directly to the roll call of the committee members. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence.
Alert, audio now unmuted, menu bar, Zoom meet, alert, E04.
Susan Bowmaster.
Here.
Thank you. Donnie Bush.
Present.
Thank you. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy. Tawan Farmer. Debbie Fisher.
Here.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein. And I just want to state for the record that Marcy Goldstein did inform ahead of time that she may not be able to join today's meeting. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Again, for the record, we have been notified by Thomas Mangrum that he may not be able to join a few meetings. Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsell.
Present.
Thank you. Bill Posner. Sarah Rod.
I'm here.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Again, for the record, Ms. Ray may not be able to join today's meeting. Denise Rush. And again, for the record, Ms. Rush may not be able to join today's meeting. Paul Samelford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simona. And Philip Weintraub. Okay. Chair Sheehan, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. We can go through the public comments information when we reach that point. At
Okay.
this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Thank you, Anu. I appreciate that. Okay. So we just had the agenda read out to us. Do I have any additions to this agenda for this evening?
None. I suggest we move the agenda as is, Patrick.
Very good. Thank you, Paul. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the agenda is approved. Review of the minutes. Do I have any additions or corrections to the minute as presented or as written?
I move we move the minutes to be as is, to be accepted.
Thank you, Paul. Can I have a second to that?
Second, this is Sarah.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the minutes are approved. And for the third report, we have the board report. Do I have any additions or corrections to the board report?
This is Paul Sonfort. To move it as we need to amend it depends on what comes out of this meeting.
Very good. Okay.
The board report.
The board report, right. Okay, so that will be amended as needed. Do I have a second for approving the board report?
Second, Darnie.
Thank you, Darnice. Do I have any objections to approving the board report? Hearing no objections, the board report is approved. All right. So far, so good in this meeting. Next, I'm very pleased to have Camilla Martin Proctor, board member, here tonight to talk to us about Metro Access white paper, of which I don't have any real good information, so I'd be interested in this. And Ms. Martin Proctor, anything else that you would like to be able to discuss with us as far as, you know, what you're seeing with respect to Metro, your passions regarding accessibility, and the areas where you draw a red line that people shall not cross. I think this committee would be very interested in your thoughts and where you stand on certain issues. So the floor is yours, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Chair Sheehan. It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Vice Chair Anu, and thank you, my fellow committee members and, family in the fight for accessibility and inclusion and making DC that gold standard. First and foremost, I am also here to listen. If there are any questions or points that you want me to take back to the board for further discussion, please feel free to let me know during our discussion. Also, please feel free to stop me if I'm moving too fast or if anybody has any follow-up questions that they would like to ask. So I kind of want to start off with, I guess, just a few things from the broader board. I think just for a few points of interest, I think we are all well aware that this weekend is a cherry blossom and that there will be a parade featuring WMATA during the Cherry Blossom Festival. Hope some will be able to get out there to see that. I also want everybody to be aware that Pride this year will also be including ASL interpreters. I think that is something wonderful that they are officially doing to help with further inclusion of the full community. That was something that has come across our board as well as we work to make sure that accessibility stands in its place. Some of the things that I know people are feeling anxious about, that I want everybody to feel free to ask questions, but also understand that we are all moving at the same pace. Obviously, is the administration's transition and the various executive orders that may be directly and/or indirectly affecting not just transit, but accessibility, inclusion, and the conversation around that in total. So one of the things that I know that has come down is the we're kind of making sure that we are staying aligned with the executive orders. That way, none of our funding gets tapped for review, but we will stay within the mission of WMATA with regards to accessibility and inclusion of everybody, providing safe transit for all. So those are the things we will not be removing. A lot of our ERG's names are being reevaluated. A lot of the vision and mission statements are being looked at to make sure that they do align with the EOs, but the mission of them will not be, they will still stay in line and faithful to what they started with regards to doing. As I had said previously, luckily at this point, nothing really has come down with regards to accessibility. Nothing that we've been able to read, nothing that we've been able to see either directly or indirectly. As I said, it does appear that the A has been left off of DEIA. So at this point, nothing EEO related will directly affect this governing body or have us have to take a look at to where we may or may not have to transition wording with regards to having this advisory committee in place with regards to WMATA. And that will be a hill that I will die on. I will not allow anything to happen to this committee. I think that this advisory workshop and work, this group of people is critical to making sure that we are providing safe and accessible transportation for all. And I think it's important to have this voice and it be under the banner of accessibility specifically. I feel that going back is not acceptable, specifically with regards to the ADA. And we just have to kind of keep moving forward as carefully as possible. So those are kind of the questions around the EOs. Did anybody have any questions or follow-ups with regards to me or anything that you'd like me to bring back to the board with regards to concerns about executive orders that may be coming down from the administration?
So, oh, Pat, can I go?
Go ahead, Paul. Yes, of course.
Thank you, Paul.
So with this is Paul Somerford. I'm the Metro Access Subcommittee Chair.
Yes, sir.
Just in general with the AAC like application process, with it, I'm presuming there'll be no changes at this point for anyone who wants to apply, because I know they want to have a diverse group of people with various disabilities and things like that in their consideration. So hopefully that will not change in when we are seeking or renewing new people who are currently existing, or new people seeking to be on the AAC. That's what I just wanted to get clarification on as you're
Yes,
talking
Paul.
about this whole thing is looking at.
Right. Yes, Paul. At this point, nothing has come down with regards to the actual application and regards to how do I say this? The parameters upon which individuals can apply to become part of the AAC. Now, if there's anything you or this committee want to bring to us with regards to changes or anything that you see that may strengthen your position with regards to different wording or anything from that perspective, please do let us know. I think that those are strong places to be in. I know that the African American ERG did that, where they came to us and said, these might be some things that we can look at with regards to strengthen our position and maybe not call it the African American ERG, maybe base it on something on history or language from that perspective.
Well, I do know, and Pat will back me up on this, is that we went through, because I helped spearheaded it as a group last summer, going through the revisions
Bylaws.
bylaws.
Yes, sir.
And so hopefully that will not affect that either, as that's still, I'm
Correct.
presuming, under review, and hopefully
Correct.
will fall in line after it's reviewed by legal and then by the board when they act
Correct.
upon it.
Absolutely. We are on the same page.
Okay. And we see right now with paratransit service that hopefully this will not affect metro access in any way, unless, something that's coming through the FTA. But as of right
Yeah.
now, hopefully this will be no changes on the accessibility side. But like you said, safe transportation for our metro access customer and reliable transportation.
Yes, safe transportation, reliable
Are they?
transportation for all. Yes, at this point, no changes. I know there was some configuring with regards to the budget and whether or not we would have to think about adjusting the cap with regards to accessible travel. I think that has been moved to the side at this point and it's not going to be touched. I do know that there has also been updates with regards to some of the new contractors that are being brought in to also operate paratransit. I'm going to talk to our ride or die, Mr. Jones, with regards to that. So yes, at this point, nothing has come down that from the executive orders that would affect paratransit in that sense.
Okay.
Yes.
Those are my questions, Pat, right now.
Perfect. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate
Thank you,
that.
sir.
Good. I know, do we have any other hands raised?
Chair Sheehan, this is Anu. We do not have any additional.
Okay. Very good.
Oh,
Miss
Sunny
Martin.
Yuzel
Yeah.
just raised her hand. Sorry,
Oh.
Sunny. Go ahead.
Of course. Okay. So I have a question about Metro tries to be inclusive of the population in the DC area, some of whom speak Spanish,
Yes.
various Asian languages. We are a multilingual city. Are we going to be able to maintain that, or are we going to have
Yes.
to? Okay, good.
Yes. And thank you for bringing that up. I didn't bring that up in this particular session, but that is also a hill that I was willing to die on. We actually are coming up with what we're calling a multilingual working group that can stay within those parameters. I was actually one of the individuals that was really pushing for the fact that all of our need to be in the top seven languages, including ASL, that is served here in the District of Columbia under the mayor's office, under WMATA. So yes, we are moving forward, making sure that that is a part of our inclusion standard and will remain our inclusion standard.
To follow up,
Yes.
fare machines face makeover. The next rollout was going to be a test example of a fare machine that was strictly in Spanish language, I think at Navy Yard. That will go ahead. That's not been impacted.
At this point, it's not been impacted. I do believe that that is moving forward. It is already, it's a pilot, so it's a test.
Yeah.
So we will see, work out the kinks.
Okay.
I like the idea. I just want to see if it's something that, yeah. You know how they say like AI and sometimes it doesn't necessarily translate correctly. So I want to make sure that there's actual Spanish speakers that are doing the work behind those particular translations and those conversations. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, good. I didn't want to say that wrong, but yes, I'm
No, that
definitely on
makes a
side of
lot
that.
of sense. Just like I strongly believe that if WMATA is trying to design signage for people who have low vision or legal
Yes.
blindness but still have some vision, that we get to test it out and comment. And WMATA has been awesome about that.
Oh, absolutely, because their board member has low vision and they have known purposely, and I didn't believe they didn't do this in the first place before I got there, but now all the documents that are available for individuals when they come to the board meeting, there's a stack that's for individuals with low vision. By the low vision standards of Columbia in 14-point font and above, and then there's quote unquote individual with normal vision for those standards. I was pushing for Braille at one point because we have a Braille machine there, but they said that because people have to ask for that specifically, but they do make that available for anybody that wants it.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Were there any other questions? And do forgive me because I can't see directly. I think I see somebody, last name Henry. Was their hand up?
Yes, that's me. Darnese Henry. I have a question about how WMATA plans to pursue the safety issue because they've been charged with providing safety on the trains and in the station. And I wanted to know if that means that you will probably have additional people in the booth because right now most of the station has one information person. They can't be everywhere at the same time. And does that mean that you'll now have security people stationed at each service center or whatever? So can you expand on that a little bit?
I can expand on that a little bit, but the person that could really be answer these questions more directly would be our chief, and I will let him know that those questions have come from the AAC. But I can tell you what we know policy-wide. As you may be aware, this past board meeting, we introduced a new policy with regards to banning repeat offenders from the Metro, individuals that have committed various crimes, either that be a theft, assault, flashing, things of that nature. So that new policy is currently in place. So that is one safety level that we are putting in place. The secondary safety level is with regards to the enhancement of our, I want to say optics, the moving forward of our cameras to make sure that those things are in constant review so that it can alert the people. So we're getting much better about making sure the individuals that are there are in the right places as they need to be. With regards to increasing our partnerships and having more people at the stations, yes, that is also moving forward as well. But that's like level three. But that's just what I have with regards to a broader overview policy-wise, because that's where I'm coming to you from the board. But I will let our chief know that you do have these questions, and hopefully he'll be able to make some time to stop by the AAC and answer those in a more detailed manner. Because it is very interesting what they have moving forward. I know everybody's looking at what Governor Youngkin is doing and, his partnership with ICE. I personally don't want to go down that road, but I do know that we're definitely bringing more people in.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Chair Sheehan, this is in.
Yes.
Philip Weintraub has raised his hand. Philip, go ahead.
Go ahead, Philip.
Also part of this, how is there going to be better ways you got to be dealing with crowd control? Because on Saturday, when I was going on the subway to go home from the hands-off rallies, I was. It was like kept the, like they kept like especially shuffling people back and forth between different entrances of a Smithsonian station. Like they say, first go over to Independence Avenue, and then they guys say gonna turn around, so go back to the mall, and then we end up have to so we end, I end up my I, we end up have to walk all the way to Gower Place to get on subway where it's not so confusing, because especially for that having stuff that confusing, it could be very. Can be very upsetting for people with like autism and other kind of
Yes.
emotional disabilities.
Absolutely. Okay. Short answer, yes. We are definitely working on better crowd control and better crowd flow with regards to the various entrances and making sure that we are taking the data and figuring out where's the best way to move those places around and making sure the appropriate informational ambassadors are there and the appropriate people are there and that we're on top of seeing where those crowds are moving. Oh, and thank you for being down there for the hands off our schools. I definitely appreciate that. Short, longer answer. So, with this return to work 5 days a week, it has given us an influx of riders that we are now working to make sure that we can definitely service appropriately and correctly. The way that we're looking at doing that is definitely bringing on more informational officers, using the data to make sure that we see where the highest levels of congestion are. I understand, like you said, Smithsonian, GW, very highly congested. Whereas, we get out to Roslyn and there's another station on the Green Line, not as highly congested. So how are we going to maximize the usage of our individuals to make sure that they are in the right places at the right time with regards to higher congestion? And also being aware of, and this is the great thing about being in DC, there is always something happening, but definitely being more aware of when these things are happening, how these pop-ups are going to affect our ability to make sure everybody is safely transmitted through our service and our systems. But those are the three things that I'm moving forward with that. This is not an excuse, but when the administration made it very clear that everybody was to return to work 5 days a week, which is frankly wasn't the healthiest thing to do for anybody at that time, in my personal opinion. I think there it could have been a little bit more truncated to get everybody kind of used to going back into that situation, getting used to having to have to work with their kids and their family, elder care, school, all of those things. So it was just, it has been just this massive crush to try and figure out how are we all going to do this on the time scale and level that has been asked of us by the administration. It's not a bad thing to have. I think a lot of people are welcoming the idea of, being back in ridership and being back in community. But we all just have to give each other a little time to really kind of balance it out. But that's what we're looking at the data for. That's how we're looking at where we can look to configure these entrances, and also having better information, like on the spot information with regards to, is it better to send everybody to Smithsonian or send everybody to Gallery Place? And how many people can move through those specific entrances at that time. So yes, we are working on it, and it is, I am actually very thankful that these questions are being asked, because they're the exact same things that we were just discussing last week and we'll be discussing later this month and seeing where those projects are moving forward. So yes, thank you.
Very good.
Chair
Any? Yes.
Chapman just raised his hand. Steve, go ahead.
Hi, this is a quickie.
Yes, sir.
With the hi, with the return to the office by so many government people, is
Correct.
that giving WMATA an additional influx of revenue, both from allowances from the federal government and from those individuals who are going back, that might help to curtail the annual budget budget issues, to put it mildly? Doesn't look like you're saying
So,
yes.
Steve,
Yeah.
so I was in as part of my DMV moves review. I will say that a couple of things. For FY26, there's $20 million more that is going, that is, as far as increased revenue in the budget, that's been allocated for 76, I mean for 26, and for 27, the additional revenue is 29 million. So the answer to what you're asking is yes. And does WMATA have needs in which they can spend that money? Oh, absolutely. But I think that the increased revenue that we're seeing, from the return to work and just other things that WMATA is doing is just terrific. I mean, they are approaching almost a million passengers a day. I mean, they've been up to like 900,000, so it's very impressive. So yes, that money's being recognized, and I think there's plenty of places to spend it. But we'll go through that a little bit with DMV moves.
Thanks.
Okay.
Any other hands?
No more hands at
Okay.
this point, Chair Sheehan.
Very good. Miss Martin Proctor, if you'd like to go through your Metro Access white paper, that would be great. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I will keep this quick because I know that we really want to kind of dive into the DMV moves piece. Let's see, how can I shorten this for everybody? So As a current student and a fourth generation Washingtonian at American University, working on my doctorate, looking at the intersections of transportation, ableism, and sexism, I have approached my committee and they have given me approval to do a white paper on the history of metro access. The reason I chose this is because it really hasn't been done. And it specifically hasn't been done from the point and perspective of ridership. There was a lot of information out there with regards to policy, legalities, history, and timeline, but nothing that really tells the story of what paratransit and metro access looked like in DC in the 60s and 70s as it was beginning and starting up, and that transition to actual transportation for individuals with disabilities. So, the first things that we're doing, obviously, is gathering all that history. We have had two sessions at the Library of Congress through the Congressional Research Services. We are currently getting ready to do our second session at the DC Archive downtown off of U Street to pull information from there with regards to when Metro Access first came up. And then I'm also hoping to, as I said, center this around interpersonal stories. As such, we had generated that very brief questionnaire, which I want to, I gave out to everybody just to kind of take a look at. But it would be so special to me personally, even though my committee said, no, just go ahead and just do the survey. Really, that's okay. But if anybody would be willing, I would love to set up times to speak to anybody that would be willing to talk to them about their experience with regards to Metro Access from the first time that they wrote it, their best experience, their worst experience, and then also how we can improve it. This information will then also be completely compiled. It would then become a white paper, peer approved, that I hope will be a mark with regards to the history of accessibility here in DC and in transit globally. And then also pull some best practices actually from the writers in conjunction with all the quantitative data that is being collected. But that is what the Metro Access, the history of Metro Access white paper is shaping into. And as I said, I will definitely be sending out my contact information. And if anybody is willing to give me anywhere between 10 to 15 minutes to tell me their story of ridership with regards to Metro Access and paratransit, it would be greatly appreciated. Your information, of course, your names would be kept confidential as you wish when included in the white paper. And if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to take just 5 minutes to answer them so that we can get to the DMV moves.
Any questions?
Chair Sheehan, this is
Oh,
Anu.
yes.
I don't see any hands up
No
yet.
hands? Okay. All right.
Okay.
Wonderful. That's exciting. That was not at all what I expected. So that's great that that's being written. And yeah, there's a lots of places where we can get lots of stories and history. Yeah. Perfect.
I appreciate that. And we'll definitely be circling back around. And thank you all so much for your time and consideration for
Great.
the history of Metro Access.
Good. Wonderful. Thank
And
you. Okay.
I'm
Oh,
going to.
timeline on that. So there's probably a due date for for this paper to be written.
Well, we're hoping to close it out by May 2026. Anybody
Oh.
that knows that has been through IRB and the committee process.
Yeah. Okay.
All of that kind of takes is truncated. So right now we're really actually doing research. They've approved the survey that I sent out, and now I'm just kind of gathering data, going through that methodology, and hopefully getting some people that will be willing to tell me their stories.
Beautiful. Okay. I think
Okay.
we've got stories. Great. Excellent. Good.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. So it looks like I am up next to give a sort of a recap of where we are with DMV moves, what's been happening in the over the last quarter, where we stand, and sort of some of the elements that are that are moving forward. If folks want to, as I'm talking, if you want to make this interactive, that would be perfect for me. I'd be very happy to answer questions or jump through my little notes that I have here and review what I have, and you can ask questions in the middle of it as opposed to save them till the end. I would say, starting off, this project started almost about a year ago, and we expected it to wrap up in June of this year. And I learned over the last couple of days that I think they're going to extend some of the meetings through maybe September or October, because the issues that they're dealing with are complicated. And there are lots of opinions in certain areas, and we need to be able to flesh some of the work of the subcommittees out and be able to present that in a new and interesting ways. I think one of the reasons why we first started off with four scenarios. The first scenario was, hey, let's keep the lights on. We're not going to really be able to do too much. We don't know where the finances are going to be, and so we need to be cautious. And scenario two was incremental progress. Well, what we've learned since then, and particularly Steve, as we talked about the budget and the revenue that's come in from increased passenger flow and other administrative updates that have been made, is that the financial picture for WMATA is a lot different right now. And so they we've kind of scrapped those scenarios, and we're sort of starting back from a more healthy revenue package in place in moving forward. One of the things that just happened really at the end of March is that there was a $140 million budget shortfall on the operation side. Well, that $140 million shortfall has been erased on the operation side because of the increased revenue that has been generated this year. There have, I sound like Randy Clark now. There have been 47 straight months of improvements as far as passenger flow and growth, which is kind of interesting. One of the facts that they talked about was that last year we had a 12.5% increase in fares, and of course, once you have a fare increase like that, you're expecting either to have flat growth or the growth just diminishes. That's kind of what the facts in the past have shown. But in this particular case, we have had an increase in passengers service, and so we've gotten more money in, even though we raised rates 12.5%, which is really unheard of. So, as I stated earlier, the budget projections, not only for this year, but they're looking at budget projections for the next couple of years, which I think is good. I always thought it was a one-year process, but they're looking at a budget increase of 20 million, based on their projections in 26, and $29 million increase in budget revenue in 27. So the and along with what we're seeing as far as passenger increase and flow and increase in service and all of that, is that the satisfaction surveys are indicating a 93% satisfaction survey in rail and an 83% satisfaction survey approval on bus. Those are both highs, all-time highs. So we're seeing a lot of really good news. People are pretty happy with the increased service. Starting to get a little bit of, as was mentioned earlier, crunches on some of the lines, particularly Red Line, and also they're looking to see how those services can be put more trains on those tracks, be able to get and move people faster through the service. The other thing that is helping with the satisfaction surveys is that in the crime area of crime, we're seeing a 7-year low as far as crimes are committed. One of the areas, Tino, you remember this, we looked at fare evasion, and that's down all-time low. And then other assaults and crimes are also at an all-time low, so, or at least a 7-year low. So all of this is really good news, which is which is why our numbers, or why the numbers have gone up. So operationally, I think we're in good shape as far as DMV moves is concerned. On the infrastructure side, as we call it, the capital side, when we're talking about the stations and financing some of the work, the maintenance work that has to be done to keep the stations active and all, there is a lot more work that needs to be done in that area. And so we're seeing areas where the capital budget could be in jeopardy come fiscal year 28 or 29. And so this is the sort of one of the areas that DMV Moves is looking at. What are the projects that we're interested in moving forward? The state of good repair is critical. What can we do to ensure that the facilities are going to be efficient and effective? And what do those projects look like? How do we, you know, as a region, how do we prioritize those projects and how do we try to move forward? One of the within the rail system, and we're looking at this now regionally, one of the areas that really needs to be worked on is rail automation and rail modernization. Part of that rail automation project deals with automatic train operation. And there's been a lot of work that has gone into that where the trains will be run not by individuals, but they'll be run automatically. They've been doing this already on the Red Line throughout the year. And they're going to go to full train automation, I believe, this spring. They think that this type of automatic train operation, in which they're run by the by computers, will be far more efficient for the trains moving forward. We'll be able to see efficiencies as far as the trains running more effectively and efficiently. It will be a lot safer than what we're seeing. What we're seeing already with the manual track operation, and it's going to improve efficiency throughout the system. Another area within the stations that we will need to be budgeting money for, as far as the on the capital side, deals with the track signals, the signals that are on the tracks that send the information to the control centers with respect to where the trains are and how they're moving. These track signals need to be replaced. These are the original track signals that have were installed back in the 70s and haven't been replaced since then. So they're about, let's say, 50 years old. A lot of them are, you know, finding spare parts is difficult. They're inefficient. They don't give us the type of information that we could use effectively over time to be able to run the trains so that you know we can track exactly where they are or how fast they're going. And so the information is not as accurate as it could be. This type of project to replace the signals with new technology, it would will mean that the trains are going to be much more, they'll run much more effectively, and we'll be able to use the information to really run these whole system much more effectively. To replace these track signals is a huge project, though. It will take over 20, 25 years to replace all the signals in the tracks. And so that's one of the large outlays that DMV is looking at on the capital side. So that's one of the, as I said, one of the areas that they're looking at is, what constitute a state of good repair. When we started, let's say over the summer, September, October timeframe, we were looking at the backlog of all the work that we had to do as far as maintenance is concerned. The signals are part of it. Of course, the new 8K series is another part of it. You've got infrastructure within the stations, the buying of buses and that sort of thing, the garages and all. Or, are we going with electric buses? Are we going to stay with the diesel buses? All of that are things that that we need to take a look at. What has changed over the last 6 months is that rather than WMATA trying to fix everything prior to 20 fiscal year 29 or 30 or 31, is that they are going to prioritize the work that's being done on the capital side and do the work in a strategic fashion. It will allow for WMATA to spend money at a slower pace to get the things done that need to be done so that the system can be in a state of good repair while allowing us to maintain a reserve fund for emergencies that would come up. The individuals within the region are looking at how WMATA can borrow money so that they can keep the system in a state of good repair. And they think that rather than spending all of this money all at once on all these projects to get them fixed, would not be financially viable, and it could risk the capital within the area. On the bus side, and we're seeing this in Virginia, DC, and in Maryland, they're looking at the bus system in general to see how they can make it more efficient. A couple of the subgroups that have been working, and I've been working with the bus priority subgroup, has been looking at bus rapid transit. Moving buses more effectively throughout the region in Virginia, particularly in DC and a little and in Maryland, but I saw mostly Montgomery County. I didn't see a lot of work being done with respect to Prince George's County, and I know that we are all interested in Prince George's County. Bus rapid transit lines that are out there, how can they be improved? Are they efficient? Can we have bus corridors that are going to be just for rapid transit and being able to move people quickly throughout the system? So that is something that's being looked at. Better bus network we know is coming on in June, and we've worked, the Better Bus Network individuals have worked with the jurisdictions to ensure that the buses that they are working with in the jurisdictions, WMATA buses aren't conflicting with, let's say, the buses that ride-ons or the bus or some of the other local bus services that are out there. So their ability to study and the deconflicting the bus routes in the different jurisdictions is critical because it allows for more buses to be run along given streets within the jurisdiction. So I was very pleased to see that Better Bus Network and the jurisdictions were working together to deconflict those bus routes. The other area that was interesting also is that there were independent bus companies out there running across the same routes. And so they were able to take a look at those independent bus companies and also deconflict those, so you've got more resources on given routes within the system. In another area, particularly on the bus side, is working with the different jurisdictions, whether they're DC or Virginia or in Maryland, and consolidating resources that are out there as far as procurement is concerned. Do we have to have all these individual jurisdictions buying with different contracts, buying these buses, and how can we make the procurement of buses more efficient? If we had a regional contract as opposed to just local contracts, would that work to help with the price of some of these buses going forward? So that's also a set of recommendations that will be given probably within the next couple of months to the task group. Even within the bus within the bus configurations, you've got individual call centers. You've got call centers that are set up that duplicate within Prince George's County, and then WMATA will have call centers. There'll be local call centers. Is there a way that call centers can be consolidated so that you're not paying the same for the same service over and over again? And so regionally, they're trying to sort of standardize who's going to be doing what, how many call centers do we need regionally. If we're looking at a region, can you have maybe just one or two call centers or whatever? Do you need to have the bunches that are out there? Oh, and the last thing that I would say that's being looked at as far as the back to the rail modernization was, and this was an area that I was unaware of. We talked a little, or I talked a little about the automatic train automatic train system, and the signals that have to be updated, but they're also looking at platform screens, which I was what which I was unaware of. There's it's been indicated that one of the areas where there has been an awful lot of issues with respect to safety and trespassing onto the tracks, they're seeing a lot of disruption of trains. Of course, there's injury and deaths if people get on the tracks and either jump or what for whatever reason go onto the tracks. And so they're saying that if you have screens on the platforms, that will help with boarding and will keep passengers safe. So those are some of the areas that DMV is working on. You have two groups, the consumer group that I'm part of, and when we look at these issues, and then you have the other subgroup on the government side, and they're looking at, and CIO side, and they're looking at issues with respect to what works, their areas of authority. And we're reporting all these findings of our individual groups back to the task force. And we expect to get maybe a preliminary report. I thought it was going to be out in June, but it may be closer to September, October timeframe. And it's going to try to simplify the system so that we have really one system, not a system in Fairfax, one in Montgomery County, one in Prince George's County, whatever. That we're able to procure buses, trains, consolidate our resources within the facilities that we have, and run it regionally as opposed to just sort of a local system. And then looking at things like state of good repair, looking at the financing for the system so that we don't run into what we did a year ago, where we had a 11th hour almost shut down and try to avoid that. So all of these things are coming into place. I think the recommendations should be pretty thorough, and it'll take a little bit of time to work through the recommendations, particularly as you're looking at budgets and that part is concerned. But there are talks going on with the individuals within Virginia, DC, and Maryland. The budgets, we haven't really talked about coordinating the budgets to see how and when that will be done. But some of these recommendations will take a couple of years anyway, to be put through. But there are some things that can be done immediately, other things that are going to take a little bit more time. And certainly the procurement of resources, buses, and that sort of thing are going to take more time. And lastly, I would say the other thing that I think will be critical is being able to take all the information and all the data that we have in a given area. And I think this committee has seen how Jordan and her team has come before this committee and presented data and information. Well, that's just from the WMATA side. But it would be nice if regionally we had someone who could present data from all the areas so that we could take a look at and study and have the metrics to say what is working and what is not working. And I think that's going to be one of the last things that we look at regionally so that we can move this area into a coordinated whole with respect to transportation. So those are generally the things that are being worked on, with a bunch of subcommittees doing the work in between the meeting, in between these larger meetings. And we should have our findings in by May or June. And I think it'll be more consolidated by the time we get to September, October. So questions for me?
Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead, Tino.
Thank you. I'm sorry, but my hands up app doesn't seem to work. You mentioned the capital funding for buses and repairs and that sort of thing. And that's not so troublesome as operations. And I haven't heard you mention the term dedicated funding. You know, everyone has pointed out that WMATA is one of the few, if the only, big transit authority in the country not to have dedicated funding. Even New York City, which has plenty of problems and they're struggling with them and they're making improvements as we are, they have dedicated funding. To the extent that the state of New York has to decide and to provide the basis of funding for the Metropolitan Transit Authority in New York. We have never had dedicated funding. And what about that? And it, are formulas being discussed by how funding should be shared by the jurisdiction,
Yes,
the various.
there, yeah, that is a huge part of moving it forward. Yes.
Can you? I've seen some of the reports of the DMV moves meetings. They don't come out often, but the reports I've seen seem to indicate at least the December 2024 report seems to indicate that they're not in agreement on. The four options that were offered at that time, offered it.
Right. Well, I would say,
And that,
Tino, yeah.
please address the idea, the concept that's been moved so many times about dedicated funding. What are they doing about that?
So of the four scenarios that you referenced, the ones back in December,
Yes.
So those four scenarios, maybe except for the last one, and I hadn't seen the last one in a while, those scenarios basically have kind of gone by the wayside in a good way, because scenarios one and two were just sort of keep the lights on and sort of do a minimum amount of work because there weren't a lot of resources. So you're seeing a lot more work, particularly on the capital side, going to be done over time. And there is, and this part I'm, not as familiar with, but they are working on ensuring that they're able to borrow more money and invest more money over time so that you can get dedicated funding. Now, the difficulty, which, and I think you know this, Tino, is that Virginia and DC and Maryland all operate differently as far as their finances go. What happens in Virginia is much more complicated with too many moving parts than what we have in Maryland or DC. So, and of course, everyone is now in a little bit more of a financial crunch also. So I don't have any answers with respect to that from the community partner side. I'm thinking that that would be more something coming from the government side, particularly when it went with respect to budgets. But that's one of the key areas that that group is looking at. How can you put money away for a rainy day, and how can that money be invested over time so that you're not spending all of your money all at once to, let's say, put in new track signals or something like that that's going to cost millions of dollars. So that's something that's being handled by, I'd say, the government group, not the community partners group, but it will be, it will be looked at. I looked at the DMV Move site today again, and they've got some very good information on that. And of course, I think you and I both read the same articles that talk about what is out there and the areas that they're concerned about. So you've got a lot of proposals out there, but nothing in stone right now.
Well,
But
you've
yeah,
met
it.
operations, and that's the biggie. Capital funding has traditionally come a lot from the federal government. We don't know what the federal government is going to do in the next 3.5 years, but that's not been as big a worry as operations. And when it comes to operations, people keep saying, the metropolitan area needs dedicated funding.
No, you're right. You're
You
right. And
know,
that's what.
so and now they're putting it off until September, October.
No, all I'm saying, no, I don't think they aren't, Tina, really. All I'm saying is that I'm not aware of what's being proposed or what direction that's going in. Most of what has been presented to our group has been more capital improvements or operational improvements. How can you take what's being done locally and make it more regional? But the area of, do we take the transit issues that are out there, and should you build more rail, or go out to Prince William County or whatever? Those kinds of questions come up. The questions concerning budgets and how they're dealt with and all, that's more on the government side. So it's being discussed, but I'm just not privy to that group.
And
I can't attend those meetings.
we should have somebody from our AAC attend, be able to attend the other group.
Well, when they set it up originally, there was a lot of talk about expanding the groups, and the leaders of the task force basically indicated that we're setting the groups with these many people, and this is who we have. So they did lock it down a little bit, and the reason they did that is because they wanted to be able to have very frank discussions within that group. I think that, I mean, you and I both know that they had issues with respect to dedicated funding, which is why we ran into that financial cliff last year.
Yeah.
Everyone's aware that has to be fixed. It's one of the driving forces. But what the community partners group that I'm in does is more on the operational side, or the how can you improve what we have out there already? You're looking at things like procurement, bus priority, signage, wayfinding. You know, those are three of the areas that we're looking at under my group. And the other group has its own set of priorities, and I'm sure one of them has to do with dedicated funding.
Okay. Thank
Other,
you.
yeah, thank you, Tina. Other questions for me?
I see hands up from two people. Go
Thank
ahead.
you. Thank you, Tina. First is Philip and then Sandy. So, Philip, go ahead.
Another thing also you should also look at is, I know you heard a lot of talk about like the stations, like, and also they get more accurate signing in the station, like trying to direct people to their correct exits, because especially in, like, there's areas like for example the 12th Street end of Metro Center, there's like three exits, like two on the left-hand side, the fare vending machine, that where one goes into an office building that's restricted only for the people who work in that building. And then one in the Macy's, and of course that only opens when Macy's is open. And then on the then you have to go then you go to the right side of the vending machine, and that's where you find the exit to the street. And then there's no real sign, so like they're trying, like I have, when I go to work in that building where that one exit goes to, I have to like directly turn people around to the street exit when they said ask them if this goes to the street, and so people shouldn't, there should be signs people know, like if they want to go to the street, they need to exit on that right side of the fare vending machine. And
Sandy,
like,
Sandy, we've wrestled with that problem before, but Sandy, you have your hand up.
yeah, and maybe Philip, maybe that's a topic more metro centric than WMATA centric than DMV, and maybe we can discuss that a little bit next time at the bus and rail subcommittee. But a very good point, Philip. So my questions for Patrick, maybe off topic from what you're familiar with, because mine are more on the capital side. Have they been discussing, in conjunction with replacing the track signaling, that the heart, or I guess really the brain center for where all that signaling is going? Am I correct in understanding that they need a sort of a new signal center and new
Exactly right.
computers, and that's going to be phenomenally
Yeah.
expensive? But if that's 50 years old, along with the track signals themselves, that's part of the huge capital investment
Right.
to
That
improve.
that's a very good point, Sandy. One of the things that they did talk about is that there are 30, let's say, individual centers that are tracking all of this data that's coming in, you know, locally on the red line, the blue line, the yellow line, or whatever. And of course, the equipment that's tracking all this is like ancient, probably from the 80s or 90s or something like that, whatever. So what they want to do is they want to take all of these 30 centers that are out there and of course make one data center in which all the information will be coming in. The information will be accurate, it'll be new, it'll be precise, it'll be measurable, and they'll be able to be much more effective than they would be looking at this data that, you know, from 50-year-old technology, which I'm surprised that we haven't run into more problems now. It never occurred to me that that was there. So they will do that, and that's one of the efficiencies that
Costs money
DMV
up
moves will be able
front.
to give. Yeah, they'll be able to, you know, it'll be more efficient. The trains will run better, they'll run faster, they'll run smoother, and that's great. But then the money that they're going to save by having one center as opposed to 30 centers for this data retrieval and analysis is phenomenal. And of course, they'll be able to take all of that money that they're saving and put it right back into the system. So that's a little bit of kind of what's going on the, you know, community partner side. How can we make it more efficient on the bus and the rail and all this stuff? And then can we plow this money back into the system?
Okay.
So, yeah.
And then my second question, or
Good question.
in the bus network discussion, it's a capital investment to improve access to bus stops. And was any discussion brought up about, yes, there are bus hubs that get good signage, good bus shelters, good benches and to sit on and sidewalks, but was there any discussion of out in the community improving sidewalk accessibility, concrete platforms to stand on rather than the mud, better signage, better lighting, better safety at bus stops?
I know that I brought that up as far as accessibility is concerned before. I wouldn't say that that's one of the concrete recommendations that's out there, but it's something that I think we push for. I know within WMATA, particularly when they're putting their bus shelters in place, they have certain standards they need to go by. So I think I can check on that one for you, Sandy,
And keep in mind that the bus shelters, the bus stops out in the community, that's more of a jurisdictional issue because WMATA does not own those stops.
And thank you so much, Pat. I just want to jump in and just let the team know that yes, Pat has talked to the board extensively about this, and it's actually a big pet peeve for Randy and those of us within the accessibility community. And we are on board with it, but as you just stated, Miss Sandy, it is very jurisdictional. And one of the big parts of DMV moves and thanking Mr. Sheehan for being part of that conversation is trying to bring all these jurisdictions together to say, okay, how can we all work together to make sure that everybody has the right curb cut for the same bus stop as everybody moves together? And yes, it is very jurisdictional, and a lot of it also comes down to budget. You know,
And
as we stated, Virginia might have a little bit more money to do a little bit more than DC. And then so the conversation is being had. We are really well aware that it is a safety issue. And with Pat's help and everybody moving forward in that direction, we're hoping to find some sort of jurisdictional solution, I think is the best way to put it. Would you say so, sir?
I would agree. Absolutely. Sandy, you're aware that when we looked at Prince George's County Transit Vision Plan, the first thing they needed to do was put in 26 miles of sidewalks. Really?
Yep.
26 miles of sidewalks weren't
And
there?
that didn't even include
And
lighting.
exactly right. And it's like, whoa, so what are they spending their money on? Or whatever. I don't know the answer to that, but the answer is yes. We need to get sidewalks in. We need to get lighting in. Then we need to have I mean, how can you have a bus system if you don't even have a bus stop or whatever? So it's just interesting where the jurisdictions are. And it's not that it's anyone's fault, but it's high time that we get a system in there where people can start to move around effectively. There was a lot of discussion based on, the rail runs here and there, but what about the bus system? It needs to be robust. It needs to be in place. It needs to be supported, and people need to be able to get from here to there on a bus system that they can depend on. And so that is one of the key factors moving forward that DMV Moves is trying to put in place. But there is a lot to it, Sandy, and I think going through and looking at what's going on piece by piece is important. I will say that DMV, I will say that Better Bus Network has been doing a great job with going into the jurisdictions and working with them to try to move the needle forward that way. And there's been a lot of impassioned people, particularly who have been former bus drivers on the community partner side, who get in there and just rant and rave about buses and how they need to be treated better and more resourced than what they have done right now.
Pat, it's more than jurisdictions. Homeowners who have bus signs in front of their homes are the ones that are held responsible for clearing the the shrubbery that's overcrowding bus stop. So it's more than jurisdictions. And on the other hand, I also have to disagree with you. Somebody is at fault. You know,
well,
why there's a problem. There's a problem because somebody isn't doing anything about it or hasn't done anything or fails to do something about it. We have to point fingers. We have to hold them responsible. How can Prince George's have such a huge transit budget? Montgomery County has a minimal one, and Montgomery can do far more than Prince George's. Somebody's got to point the finger at somebody for this lack.
Well, Minutino, I completely understand, but I think that we also have to adjust for the fact that this is a system issue. You know, this is a system-wide eco that we have to take into consideration, and it can't fall on just one person or one jurisdiction.
Of course not.
There's too many moving parts for that. But you've got champions like Pat here making sure to hold people, the system, and the community accountable for the things that you guys bring to him and bring to us. So it's great from that perspective, but this is definitely, it is a system-wide issue.
And and of course Tino is the chair of the bus rail subcommittee, so Prince George's County and other counties, you know, are falling under his purview also. But I think Tino, the folks in Prince George's County, Montgomery County, whoever, at least the way I look at it, is they don't report to me, but I would rather get. I'd rather put a partnership together with them. I understand where we are now. So let's get this focused and report it up to people that can do it, such as the board. And then let's see what we can do to make improvements going forward. And then that's, you know, kind of the bottom line. I mean, that's what we want to see. We want to see the sidewalks in place. We want to see the bus stops with lighting in place. We have the standards. We just need to move the political will in that direction, and we have help. I mean, we have help with Better Bus Network. We have help, you know, with Ms. Martin Proctor and Don and others that are moving this forward. And I think if we can supply them the data, the information, and you know, our requests going forward, we'll get there.
We better.
I agree with you, Tino. Yeah. Other questions?
So, Chair Sheehan, at this point, we do not have any additional hands up.
All right. Well, very good. Well, thank you for letting me talk to you about DMV Moose. There's a lot going on, and I think it'll make a difference down the line. And I will keep you guys informed on what is going on with respect to it, and certainly push the things that we talk about in our meetings, whether it's Metro Access, bus rail, or whatever. We're trying to push onto that within the regional system, and we'll see where we go. Good. All right, Anu, what do we have next on the agenda?
So actually, we can go to public comments if we have any members of the public connected.
Oh, good. Meeting. Thank you.
And I just want to remind any members of the public that if you would like to send us your comments regarding any of the service issues or anything that you may have experienced, you can surely send us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com. That's spelled out metroaacchair@wmata.com, or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. And if we have any members of the public who would like to make comments, please let us know now. You can either raise your virtual hands or you can send me a chat message and we will take your comments. Depending upon how many members of the public we have, we will allot 2 minutes per speaker to ensure that if we have more than, you know, if we have a few members, we can hear from everyone. However, Chair Sheehan, I'm not seeing any hands up or any comments for public comments. So perhaps we do not have any members
okay.
of the public who would like to make comments today.
All right. Well, if we don't have anybody, why don't we move?
We do got Kendall.
I do have a question. I'm sorry that my hands up thing doesn't work.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Tino.
Camilla, I'm glad you're here. You're with the federal government and presumably in the transportation department. Are you safe? I mean, has the transportation secretary or the deputy secretary not realized that you're here? Or Brenna are here?
Oh, that's so sweet. But I appreciate the warmth. I appreciate the compassion. But me and my fellow board members, we're just going to keep swimming.
Good. Good. It's too crazy. It's too crazy.
Thank you, Tino. Any other questions? Any other hands up, Anu?
I am not seeing any, so would you like to move forward to the reports?
Yes, Tino, I think you're up next with Bus Rail Committee.
Yes, the minutes have been reviewed once before, and I just say again briefly that on March 10th, we had the director for elevators and escalators come before us and make a report. We also discussed fare vending machines and that the problem of fare evasion is slowly being tackled. And we also had scheduled a Prince George's County official to come. We did not know what Anu just told us before the meeting, that official had emailed us that they couldn't make it. And so we were a little concerned when we discovered that no one showed up and no one explained why. But they're to come at our meeting next week. So that's a good thing. And that was a second review of the minutes. Are there any objections to the minutes as discussed before and as all of you have had a chance to review? Any objections to the draft minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are approved.
Any questions for Tino? No? Very good, Tino. Yeah, we look forward to that discussion with Prince George's County next week. That'll be interesting. Good. Paul, I think you're up.
Paul, you're on mute if you would unmute yourself.
Hello.
There you are, Paul.
I can hear you
now. Oh, now, okay. Oops, sorry, I was multitasking. Metro Access Subcommittee report. We have a lot of things to talk about. Can everyone hear me? Good afternoon.
Yes.
So last month we had a very productive meeting. We had a call center tour and visit by our AAC members, and we kind of reported out on the amazing things and process that's been going with that. We talked about feedback on the next generation vans that are already out and underway on the streets in small numbers, and hopefully we'll get more as the months and years come. And we're very pleased that, Metro Access Management was very open and listened to the AAC's feedback in the design of those vans. We'll continue to do so and has produced what we found a very pleasing product that's going to be a good ride for all customers of all needs in terms of accessibility for Metro Access, especially the fact that It will hold two wheelchairs, and someone ambulatory like me won't have to do, as Mr. Blake says, the w wiggle wobble around them, and can comfortably, ambulate past people in comfortable seating, with all the necessary and current updates in the vehicles. It's a wonderful vehicle, and the prototypes that they have. Also, we discussed. We had a presenter talking about some of the Metrox's data and statistics, particularly customer satisfaction with the call center in terms of where's my ride. And we will be continuing that robust discussion next month, as they have, they will follow up with us and pr as promised, how we're monitoring, calls and interactions. So customers, when they call in, have what we hopefully have returned to, high standards of customer service when they call into the call center for both reservations and more particularly with the concern with where's my ride. And did I cover everything, Pat, I think, from that meeting?
Yeah, I think you did. I'll just say one thing. I know that I was having some issues, having to call in a lot with "Where's my ride?" by the way, because of the geocoding on the Metro Access location for my address, and they finally did get that fixed. So I'm a happy camper now, Paul. So that was good. Yeah, I
I
think.
mean, I know it's been a transition with this
Yeah.
group, but things are looking much better.
The on-time
As Mr.
performances,
Blake says,
yeah.
give them time, and with time, it's looking a begin to look a lot better. I know he listens, he's hearing me on that screen tonight.
Yeah.
There is progress being made, slow
And
but
the
steady progress.
on-time performance is about what right now, would you say?
On-time performance is getting back into the positive direction, as Mr. Blake has communicated. It's not always where he wants it to be, but
Okay.
we're at least moving in the right direction between that and when we call into reservations, obviously it's just greatly improved, and now we're just working on where's my ride with that. I mean, where's my ride in terms of that quality assurance piece
Right.
and that whole thing we discussed last meeting that we will continue to discuss for this upcoming meeting.
Good. One of the things that came up in the DMV moves discussion that I was in was how much how effective Abilities Ride is, and how, as a program, that is saving a lot of money for WMATA.
And also, I will say, personally, and I'm sure customers have said, as you heard through prior meetings, subcommittee meetings, that Abilities Ride is a lifesaver in the sense that it's offering flexibility, it's offering savings costs to Metro, it gives the call center staff tools to use, especially when they're dealing with challenges with traffic and maybe things with driver routes, things like that, to really help improve or maintain on-time performance.
Agree. The only thing that I would say that's a little bit of a negative, we had the ability to take the statistics that were in the Abilities Ride database, let's say, and apply them to the overall statistics for Metro Access. It would be
Now, as you
interesting to
know,
know where
the
our
data that
on-time
we
performance would be. Yeah. What's
now,
that?
as you know, right now, we only have, and to be clear, because Mr. Blake will correct me, the data that we have is for the dedicated vehicles
Yep.
that we get monthly. In terms of Abilities Ride, that is a different beast.
Oh, absolutely.
And I
Right.
know that we are seeking to hopefully have some of that data in the future. Vanessa, I see your hands up. Did you have a comment
Alert.
about my
Audio now
comments
unmuted.
or anything that need to be added for this report?
Yes, I did you mention the visitation we had to the call center?
Oh yes, I talked about that AAC members did go, and again, y'all were able to listen to, staff on Where's My Ride. Management kind of explained the whole process of the call center and how, they were monitoring things with staff, and how it be, how, how the process starts in, from beginning to end, and how complex it is, and how they are able to, get things done, and talk to, management staff, and see, and see the whole process, and have a true appreciation of how things are handled in the call center, hope with obviously hope of with care and love, as we're dealing with human beings and customers with disabilities, and getting them from point A to point B, and their feelings.
Good. Okay. Any other questions for Paul?
Tershihan, this is Zenu. We do not have any
All
additional
right.
questions.
Very good, Paul. Thank you. So let's see. We are at what we at now?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. So I am not adverse giving everybody back 30 minutes of their time.
This
this is Anu. Vanessa raised her hand again.
very good.
Tina is trying to make a comment, and I think
Okay.
Sandy is trying to make a comment.
But I was going to just say, unless people wanted to talk about other subjects, but there we go. Okay, let's take those in that order.
Okay, Vanessa.
Vanessa, you're first.
Alert. Audio now.
I'm sorry. Yes, this is Vanessa. I wanted to know if we could get the number to the I think her name was Camilla, the federal worker, because I do have a couple of consumers in DC that would be able to give her a lot of information with the because they've been in the system for a very long time. So how do I get her number?
Oh, Ms. Martin Proctor will share her email address, I'm sure, with Anu, and Anu can make sure that comes out to all of us, because I have some people that I think would like to be part of that too. Yeah,
Okay, thank you.
it, Anu,
Absolutely,
I just
and thank you.
volunteered you. I just volunteered you. Does
Sure, no
that
problem.
work?
Sure, no
Okay,
problem, Shihan.
good.
Thank you. Next is Tina and then Sandy.
Yeah, I'd be interested in the survey also. Another thing, Camilla, you're at the Department of Transportation. Do you have access to any kind of at least press releases from the secretary's office or some office there dealing with public transit, which would obviously affect WMATA, MTA, BART, all those places. Is it possible for you to share with us any kind of press releases at least that are public regarding transit and the way the Department of Transportation secretary sees transit?
Well, Tino, so to not duplicate work, I actually think that that currently takes place with our WMATA communications team. They
Oh.
actually pull down a lot of the press releases that are already in point. Give me a minute. I will circle back around. Let me talk to Regina and Kimmy and see where the gap is, and maybe we can figure out a pipeline to get that information also sent directly to the AAC committee.
Please. Yeah,
Absolutely, sir.
very good. Sandy, you're up.
Can you hear me? I think I'm unmuted.
Yes,
We can hear
you're
you.
good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at the bus and rail subcommittee next Monday, one of the topics on the agenda is to discuss in particular static, signage where, an actual hard sign is made and either put on a pillar or put on the wall of the metro system. And in particular, I'd like to discuss the various ways WMATA is displaying information in the complicated stations like Metro Center that Philip mentioned that has multiple exits, L'Enfant Plaza, same thing, multiple exits, upstairs, downstairs, rail system, Roslyn, and also Gallery Place Chinatown. If we could just focus on those four stations, if you have time in the next week to observe the static signage, I wasn't really going to talk about the digital signage that we've talked about before. I wanted to keep it more on this the static sign, because once they make a sign and mount it, they want that to be valid for as long as possible. So they want to do it right the first time. And there are various examples that I'll say Sarah Meyer and her team, she's got many people on her team designing signage, but there's subtle differences between those stations. So take a look, see what works for you. I'll just, at the next meeting, I'll have just a few examples and ask for comments and feedback. Just a plug for
Okay.
next week's meeting.
Good. And you're really interested also in location of where these signs are and the lighting surrounding those signs too, right?
Yes, and I
Okay.
will say that WMATA does a great sign, great job of having multiple signs for multiple ways of reading signs and understanding signage. I read the signs that I can see, but other people can see signs that I can't see. So,
Right.
well, welcome the comment.
But as someone who has low vision, your input as to what you can see and how well and all is invaluable. I wish I had that much sight so that I could be
And
participate like that. But yeah, that's great.
other people who have low vision also see things differently than I do, so their comments are important too.
Right. Right. That's great. Yes. Good.
Here,
Thank you.
Shubham, this is
Yes.
Anu. Steve Kaffin just raised his hand. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah. Following on what Sandy said, it's the lower stations in Gallery Place and Metro Center that are probably the biggest confusions, if you will. And there has been some improvement. But there are gaps between where the doors open and whether or not there is a sign. And once there isn't a sign, then you're walking the wrong direction. I find myself after 20 some years of living in, using the system, still walking in the direction of Glenmont when I really want Shady Grove and vice versa. So Sandy, I think you know what I'm talking about there, and those are ones we'll talk about next Monday. I have a quick question. We've got that big rollout at the end of June, beginning of July, of all new bus numbers and new routes and what have you. Is the entire WMATA office going to be emptied out to provide customer assistance at the different stops? Or are there going to be
I would,
volunteers out there? Or
yes.
how's that going to work?
You know, I don't know. I knew I don't know what the agenda looks like on bus rail for the next couple of months. But having gone to the RAC meeting, where where they presented once again the Better Bus Network, they have a terrific communication plan going out in the next couple of months with. What they're going to, where they're going to be, when they're going to be there, the resources they're going to, that they've committed. And so I don't remember all the specifics, but they really have it nailed down quite a bit. And they have the people and resources and everything together for the rollout by the end of June. So I think they are extremely well prepared.
And
And go ahead, Danu.
apologies, Chair Sheehan. I just wanted to add that because our April agenda was already full, we do have the team coming to the May Bus and
May.
Subcommittee to share all the details. It's going to be pretty involved discussion because they will have so much information to share.
Right.
So yes,
That
we're
could take an hour or
on
that
our
could take most of the meeting. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Good.
Thank you, Anu. Thanks.
Yes, we have that April and May meetings pretty full at this point.
Yeah,
Maybe
that's
they can share some stuff in advance of the meeting to help facilitate the discussion.
Sure, we if they have any presentations as usual, we will share with that with the committee ahead of the meeting. Yes.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Good.
Hi, this is Barbara, Ombudsperson for People with Disabilities. I would like to say that on the WMATA.com site, there are wayfinding directions for those who would like in a writing with pictures to guide you at HQ station, Les Fonds Plaza, and that will take you through that station with the use of an elevator or not to the Transit Accessibility Center. And so those are there for use. They work very well, very detailed. And to address a comment that Philip made earlier, we Metro employees are encouraged to volunteer to be serving as helpers during major events. There was one just this past weekend for the Cherry Blossom Festival and then the inauguration on the 20th of January. And I was at both of those, and we are very noticeable wearing, Metro vests with the big M on it on both sides. And so we Metro knows how to handle all these big events. Another one coming up is, Fourth of July activities. So we are encouraged, and we love to do it.
Good.
Hey,
Good.
great.
Excellent. Anu, I any other hands up?
Not at this
No?
point.
You
No.
want to give your well, if not, we can give everyone 20 minutes back.
All right.
You want to give your little
Sure, I would just share that any members of the public, if you're looking to send us your public comments before or after the meetings, you can send us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Thank you.
Perfect. All
Thank
right.
you. Well,
Good.
thank you for coming.
Excellent. Ms. Martin Proctor, thank you so much for attending our meeting. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to help with this Metro Access white paper. That'll be great.
Thank you. Pat, I propose we add Denise to the list of people for her to
There
contact.
you go. Good. Let's see, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So
Yes, you
moved.
do.
A second. I don't even think I need to ask.
Second.
Yeah. All in favor say aye.
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 Very good. Thanks for a great meeting, everybody.
All
Appreciate it.
right. Thanks, Camilla.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Excellent meeting. Excellent. Thank you.